Your home on the Central Coast, 1340 KYNS.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Another one bites the dust. Al-Qaeda's number two, Abu Yahya al-Libi, killed by a U.S. drone.
Pentagon officials won't discuss specifics of counterterrorism operations, but Captain John Kirby said this of the Al-Qaeda leader.
This is a very dangerous individual, and for him to no longer be walking the earth would be a good thing for everybody.
Al-Libi's death is a significant blow to the core of Al-Qaeda. He was one of its most experienced leaders, an operational planner, and just the latest of more than a dozen senior Al-Qaeda leaders killed in U.S. strikes over the past 2 years. Cami McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
Emotions running high in Wisconsin today, recall election.
I think it's ridiculous. We've ordered the man in. If you don't like what he's doing, recall him in 2 years during the regular election.
A supporter of Republican Governor Scott Walker facing recall by Democrats angered by Walker's union busting, that some call it. On the other hand,
he is the worst governor we've ever had, and I'm 61 years old. Walker only stands for the 1%.
She supports Democratic Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. By all accounts, the race is close. Three jurors, that's how many are seated so far in the child sexual abuse trial of former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato is there.
The big question here is, given the massive publicity surrounding this case and the strong feelings about Penn State here in central Pennsylvania, how long will it take to find 12 jurors who say they can judge Sandusky fairly? Some of the prospective jurors came to court wearing Penn State jackets. One woman wore the whiteout shirt created for a massive football stadium show of support for victims of child abuse after Sandusky was indicted.
Sandusky is accused of molesting 10 boys over 15 years. Gambling. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo denying reports that his effort to bring casinos to New York influenced by $2 million in donations from gambling interests to a lobbying group created to support him. A spokesman says any suggestion that Cuomo has an improper relationship with gaming interests is a reckless distortion of facts. It's been a lovely party.
The Queen ended her Diamond Jubilee celebrations on the Buckingham Palace balcony, smiling and waving to the thousands who ignored the driving rain to come out to cheer her one last time. Later in a rare broadcast, the Queen thanked her loyal subjects.
It has touched me deeply to see so many thousands of families, neighbors, and friends celebrating together in such a happy atmosphere.
The Queen describes the outpouring of emotion as a humbling experience. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
They may yet have happy days ahead.
Sunday, Monday, happy day.
Cast members of the 70s TV show claim they've got royalties coming, claims that a judge is refusing to dismiss, denying a motion by CBS Studios and Paramount Pictures. Happy enough on Wall Street right now. The Dow is up 36 points. This is CBS News.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, and this is a pop quiz. What's the best way to find out what your auto policy covers? A, smash your car up and see how much your insurance pays, or B, talk to a highly trained farmer's agent and see if you have the coverage you want? The answer is B. Please don't attempt A. That's just crazy town.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
It's Whitney Houston's last recording.
I'm Heather Bosch.
Come on, celebrate.
Celebrates a duet between Whitney Houston and Jordan Sparks from their upcoming movie Sparkle. Though Houston's voice is far less powerful than in her earlier work, Rolling Stone's Anthony DeCurtis expects the song and the movie to do well.
There was a lot of hope that she would reattain the stature that she had had earlier. She was never able to do that, and I think there's a lot of curiosity about whether or not this will be the moment when she could do it again.
Houston died 3 months after filming ended. Sparkle's due out in August.
True Blood. Bulgarian archaeologists unearthing centuries-old skeletons pinned down through their chests with iron rods, practice believed to stop the dead from becoming vampires. A couple of skeletons from the Middle Ages found in just such a state last weekend near the Black Sea. Widespread superstition led to rods being hammered through the hearts of those who did evil during their lifetime so they could not return after death to Feast on the Living. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Ever turn on your TV to find the dish hopper lets you skip through all the ads? Ever find an entire show is passed without interruption because the dish hopper lets you automatically skip the ads? Well, if you're tired of skipping ads, turn to radio, where ads are alive and well.
Watch commercial-free TV with the Hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Tuesday, and you're Bill Benker, Talkers Chief, Friends of Neighbors Network. No, I don't have my computer thingy fixed up yet, so we're going to do live ads today.
And now, here's Bill Benker.
Hey, Billy. Give it the go, lad. Hi, it's windy. Windy again. It's got that windy thing that's going on. And then again, the weather wizard says, you know, this is typical June weather. This is typical for Los Osos. This foggy in the morning and cloudy, foggy, cloudy, and then sunny in the afternoon. That's Los Osos. Sort of. Anyway, but anyway, we're enjoying that all over the place now. So that's kind of exciting. You're with Bill. Let me give you some phone numbers in case you want to call in today. 786-2578. That's 786-2578. Or 1-866-937-1340. And we're going ahead here. All right, so what we're going to do news first is from CalcoastNews.com, and let me tell you what's been posted since we last spoke. San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Adam Hill's use of his office in his bid for re-election appears to be a violation of government codes 54964 and 8314, which ban government officials from using public resources, including buildings, computers, or phones, to discourage or support a ballot measure or political campaign. On June 1st, about 2 p.m., Hill was forwarding links to a positive and misleading article written by Tribune reporter Bob Cuddy titled "Nastiness Increasing in Two Slow County Supervisorial Campaigns," using his San Luis Obispo County Supervisor email. Cuddy's piece slams Hill's opponent Ed Waggie, while praising Hill as the only candidate who had not reported negative issues on radio advertisements or flyers. Cuddy did not include negative campaign on Hill's website and instead touted Hill as an opponent of negative advertising. In what appears to be an attempt to hide his action, Hill set the emails in a way that the names of the recipients are hidden. While no criminal penalty exists for violating Government Code 5954964, Government Code 1222 makes a willful violation of any of the provisions by a government official a misdemeanor. He did not respond to requests for comment. Here's somebody's comment. The first comment was, it would be very difficult to beat the Hill Cuddy team. Okay. Politics. This is over today. Get out and vote, 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 vote. Get out there and give it the go. And vote. And then just go home and relax and don't think about it anymore because, you know, whatever happens to us after that. Other people in the news. College kids fleeing to other states. Well, this is kind of fascinating. We're seeing as how California was supposed to be the golden state for all college kids, you know, that lived here. Not so. With tuition on upward trajectory program cutbacks increasing, even while pay for top administrators is skyrocketing, more and more California high school students are looking outside the state for their higher education, and they are finding a warm reception from schools in neighboring states, officials of which have been accelerating recruiting. Special discounts, smaller classes, and a big increase in the number and range of available courses are being offered by anxious recruiters from Arizona, Washington, Oregon, and other western states. Enrollment by state students in California State University and University of California schools has been dropping steadily since 2007, down 4 points since then to only 18% today. Much of the decline is blamed on a lack of available courses, according to a Public Policy Institute of California study. That study also pointed out that many foreign and out-of-state students are in turn being wooed by the California system because these students pay more for their education. I know it's really bad news. I mean, I understand, you know, that greed, we've talked about greed in all of our news and everything that's going on in our world right now. There's a greed behind most of our problems right now. All right, let's go on with other things. Let's see. Big change in California primary. Of course, California now has an open top two primaries, meaning voters do not have to belong to a certain political party in order to cast a ballot for congressional, legislative, and statewide races. The first and second place winners, regardless of party, will move on to the November general election, except in the case of the presidential central committee and local races. What does that mean? The reasoning behind the top two primary was to help elect more moderate people to the legislature. This is slated to help end gridlock by electing lawmakers who are more willing to compromise. Critics say the new system could result in candidates from the same party being the top two. That could be the case for Central Coast 24th Congressional District, where the election could include two Republicans in the fall. Republican candidates Abel Maldonado and Chris Mitchum are pitted against incumbent Democrat Lois Capps. The top two will face off in November. 2010 Prop 20 took the redistricting process out of the legislators' hands and into an independent committee. While some districts have shifted slightly one way or the other, the 24th is considered to have one of the biggest changes, with a Democratic advantage dropping from 20 points to a mere 3%, making it possible for a Republican to take control of the seat that has been filled by Democrats since 1996. And it goes on. So that's some of what's happened with our elections today, and they said that they expect a really poopy turnout in California, less than 35%, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll check it. I'm pretty sure that's what they said. That's what's going on right now in calcoastnews.com. Don't forget, they post things all the time, 24/7, and you can look them up at calcoastnews.com. Upper right hand corner, Talk is Cheap. You can click on that. We have podcasts of Talk is Cheap. And then we also have streaming live radio from KYNS 24/7. So get to it, calcoastnews.com. That's it. I don't have any more sounders. I don't have fancy stuff. Okay, but I do want to tell you about some things because it's lunchtime, and I have to remind you that Spencer's on Tuesday. You have tacos for a buck. You have tacos for a buck, and you can get spaghetti for two for $5. Spaghetti and meatballs for two for $5. That's a good lunch. What's wrong with that? Plus, you get all the salads and stuff you want. They got all sides and whatnot. They got soup in San Luis. They got stuff. And then Spencer's also has some other great things, like fresh boneless, skinless, chickenless breasts. These are $1.99 right now, but they won't be tomorrow. And then $4.99 a pound for Harris Ranch Choice Angus Top Sirloin Steaks, which, by the way, I will go into Spencer's, and I will take time to go to the meat department and say, what's with this Angus thing? Don't we wonder what's with the Angus? Everybody's advertising Angus steak now. And I got to find out what they're talking about because I have the faintest notion. I looked it up and it had to do with lineage. So is this a whole different herd of cows that you're eating on? Don't know. All right, other things going on. It's PB&J time, for gosh sakes. Smucker's Preserves, two for $5, and Jif Peanut Butter, two for $5. PB&J, hey. Jumbo Cantaloupe, two for $4. Local Artichokes, two for $1. I've seen them for as much as $1.99. I don't know what they're thinking with that. Two for a bone, local artichokes at Spencer's Fresh Market. Get in there and get some of that. How about sweet crisp cherries for $1.99 a pound? And then they have whole mini watermelons, two for $4. The carrots, they got all the produce, they got the desserts, they got the everything you need, toilet paper, whatnot. They got all that stuff. So get into Spencer's in five locations on the Central Coast and do it to it. In Atascadero, Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo, Santa Maria, Rio Grande. Spencer's Fresh Market. And, of course, Moe's Smokehouse Barbecue is the other people we want to talk about at noontime, because Moe's is in downtown San Luis Obispo, right there in the corner of Osos and Monterey Street. And Moe's has all the great stuff. They got the great barbecue of all time. They got the great ribs that win awards every single year. They have also, of course, don't you get pulled pork, pulled chicken, pulled beef. They have salads galore, and those are really great. They got sides. They got fries, garlic fries, potato chips, beans, coleslaw, potato salad, all kinds of stuff. Don't forget, I told you yesterday that cream puffers are right there for after lunch, and they bring chocolate dipping sauce. You know, It's absolutely fab. So, and get it done here in San Luis Obispo. Go to Moe's and have yourself a great lunch. And if you're down Pismo Beach way, getting blown away today, you can go right down there, just up from the pier, downtown, up from the pier, is where Moses is downtown, up from the pier. And they have Moses there, too. All right. Quarter minutes past the hour, 12 noon is our time. You're with Bill Benica, and I thank you for joining me today. Other things going on. Well, here's a big story right now, and that, of course, is that we popped number two in Al-Qaeda. I think we're still considering then that nobody ever moved into the number one spot after Bin Laden was killed. So this makes him the number – he's actually the number one guy, but they call him a number two. Sorry, couldn't help it. He's dead. He was admired in jihadist circles among the younger generation of Al-Qaeda leaders, a charismatic, intelligent, religious scholar, and with extra qualification of having escaped from U.S. custody in Afghanistan. His loss is a cataclysmic blow to Al-Qaeda, according to analysts who follow the group. His name is Al-Libi, and he was the target of a U.S. drone strike this week. Now, once again, so here's what we're talking about. We're talking about in 2012, use the tools available to you to wage war in the year 2012. And those include drone strikes. And they seem to be very effective, would you say? All right. So goodbye. Goodbye, dude. Ask us if we care about you. We don't. All right. A few more of those guys and come home early. All right. There's you go. So we have Governor Walker's fate in the hands of voters in Wisconsin. This whole thing is like craziness in Wisconsin. It's like this crazy runoff thing. Anyway, so they want to either recall the governor or they want to put somebody new in. The whole thing is like, holy cow. All right. We have Governor Brown, who's a very exciting man. And so we just sit there and go, oh, yeah, whatever. Here's right here. This is the only trial in the cross-burning gets conviction. So this was Jeremiah Hernandez said, well, I'm going to try a jury and see if maybe they'll buy my program. And they didn't. So he faces up to 14 years in prison, and the other three scofflaws have already been sentenced on a plea bargain. But this, I don't know what he thought was going to happen good for him. I don't know why he thought somehow he was going to be separate from the rest, but he did. He was going to try to convince a jury, and he didn't. So that's that. All right, goodbye. Goodbye to you too, pal. This is too bad. North Coast dolphin may have been shot. There was apparently a dolphin was found, and then another dolphin was found, and the one washed away, but the other one was there, and they looked at it, and they said it's got bullet holes. And now you say to yourself, well, why would somebody shoot a dolphin? I don't know. Why? Let's see. Sea otters, people think that, you know, they're not having any clams because of them. What else you got? Porpoises, dolphins, what do they do? I don't think they do anything bad, do they? Getting the tuna nets and torque off the tuna fishermen, I guess. Do we have tuna fishermen here? I don't think we do. Okay, so I'm not sure about that. It's just people are weird. Something to shoot at. Here's a picture, by the way, on the Tribune, the front page of the Tribune today. Here's Randy Reid, who we talked to on the air last Friday, along with Karen Vealey and Stephen Sohn. And they say the rules are too strict for the parking program. This is very interesting. Some information has been forwarded to me, and I think it's okay to say it. I asked if I had permission to say it, and they thought it was fine. And so somebody was observing the conversation that Karen Vealey and I had last Friday regarding detours, Adam Hill, the Prado Day Center, the whole thing. Now, if it sounded like, and they're blaming Karen Vealey as who it is, but if it sounded like it was sort of gossipy strangeness about connecting Adam Hill to Detours, I think I was the one that actually did that and said I don't know what the conversation between the two of them would be. Because another city council person, remember I told you I talked to a city council person, not another, but a city councilman, said to me, you know, he said, this is the program. This is we need to collect money. We need to get people off of Prado Road. Every single thing that was in Karen Vealey's story was confirmed. And now the Tribune has written a story that confirms every point that was made last Friday. And then they also talk about Arroyo Grande, and this is the thing I said is so great. If the newspaper and other news sources advance people's information about what's going on, they don't disagree with anything that we talked about last Friday as far as San Luis Obispo and what the situation is in San Luis. And again, you know, this parking thing has become just kind of crazed. Because, in my opinion, this is my opinion. I don't care if the city councilman thinks it's not crazed, and I don't care if Detours thinks it's not crazed. I think it's crazed. And that is, in order to raise money for future development, you have a homeless guy, if he's 70% of his check, whatever the check is, if you want to sleep in that area and be screened and all that for drugs and alcohol and have your vehicle searched or whatever, and you want to have that, and therefore you have this parking space, you give up 70% of your income if you're single. That's insane to me. I'm sorry. It just is. It just is. If let's say you're able to scrape together $500 a month, you know, that's 350 of it. Here's the main issue behind this whole homeless thing. This is what I'm being told. What's being said? The homeless are in two classifications here in San Luis Obispo. Those that could eventually be not homeless is the idea. And those that are just perpetually homeless and will continue to be so, be either because of drug or alcohol use, because they're mentally not right, whatever the case may be, or they just don't want to. And so I have a little bit of trouble with this, I have to be honest with you. If I was, I've said this to people, I'm not kidding. If I was homeless, if I was living in a creek, Bill Benica tomorrow was living in a creek, I'd have a bottle of booze with me in a heartbeat. I don't take drugs, but I'd have a bottle of booze. And say, here, I don't want this life. I want to get wasted and not have to endure living by a creek and freezing my butt off and everything. So it's kind of weird that we say, well, you know, we have people that have mansions that are alcoholics, you know. And so here you got a guy living in a creek, and yet he can't get help if he's drinking. It's like, wait a minute. What? Now, do I have an answer for Prado Road and the people parking on Prado Road? No. They have to be somewhere, though. They don't deserve to lose their homes. And this is what Stu Jenkins and Saro Rizzo are contesting the situation here in San Luis Obispo. They're saying you don't have the right to take somebody's vehicle away because they're sleeping in it. You may pass an ordinance that says you can, but that doesn't mean that constitutionally you can do that. And I have to tell you, really, it's a little rubs me the kind of wrong way, too. I don't understand what sleeping in your vehicle has to do with anything in the whole wide world, quite frankly. And the people are homeless. How come we don't? I don't understand why we're not grasping what homeless means. They don't have a home to go to. They're broke. They're the down and outs of all people. What can you imagine? There's people sleeping in their cars, not even a motorhome. There's people in cars. They're living out of their cars. You know, I've not been some advocate for the homeless ever. It's not been on my agenda anywhere. But now that all this stuff is starting to come out, and you say to yourself, are we really trying to help these people that have these terrible problems because they're homeless? Or how do you say, well, we'll sort out the ones we think are the good homeless from the bad homeless? They're all homeless. Craziness to me. But okay, well, you know, we'll have Karen in again. You know what I might try to do is, matter of fact, I could do it right now. Let's see something. Because these sometimes, I know it won't be there yet. It just won't be there yet. Sometimes these things take a while. I told you that because these files, when you record a whole program, the files are huge. So we have to go through an intermediary that somehow compresses them and does weird things to them and then makes podcasts out of them. So the one we did last Friday wouldn't hit by today. But when it does hit, you know, I'll review or I'll play it for you and see what we said. And see if we were out of line in any way about discussing the homeless. I didn't think we were, but somebody's perception was that we were, so that's what's important. You know, perception's the whole thing. All right, other things going on. Other things that are happening right here. How to watch Venus cross the sun. You know, it's. I guess I know it's not going to happen for another 100 years or whatever, isn't it? But if you want to do it, what the hey? You got to go out. You got to make a pinhole and a something, and then hold up in front of the sun, and have a piece of paper down here so it shines through there, and you see it, and you'll see a little black dot go across the sun. That's Venus. Oh, Venus, if you anyway, that's Venus. Frankie Avalon. I should look up Frankie Avalon. I should find out if we. I think I need to find out something. Wait a second. Wait, we got to celebrate Venus. God, Benica, what are you doing? You're just sitting around, you know. All right, there's lots of people that did Venus, but this is the one here, I think, that most people know about, and that's I'm going to play Venus right now. All right, here we go. Because it's going across the sun and what?
Hey, Venus. Oh, Venus. send a little girl for me to thrill. A girl who wants my kisses and my arms. A girl with all the charms of you. Venus, make her fair. A lovely girl with sunlight in her hair. And take the brightest stars up in the skies and place them in her eyes for me. As long as we both shall live. Venus, goddess of love that you are, surely the things I ask can't be too great a task. Venus, if you do, I promise that I always will be true. Give her all the love I have to give, as long as we both shall live.
And Venus. And I just thought I'd throw that because Venus is traversing there, and I think we should have the music for traversing. All right, other things that are going on. I think we, by the way, the Proud Day Center is in the news again because PG&E is going to provide new air conditioning for them and also an air curtain, you know, that from one area to another area so the bugs don't come in and whatnot. And so they have that going on. So that's $25,000 worth of stuff that PG&E is doing for Proud Day Center. Why don't they squeeze them for a little bit more? Squeeze us. And then here's a fun picture right here. Here's some kids are graduating from Templeton. Who's this young lady? Courtney Thyssen is ready to receive. She's got a big smile on her face and everything, not realizing there's no jobs. And we have to do this before we take a break because it's just cracking me up. All right, so here we had two people about philosophy and, you know, taking philosophy as a major because the first person that said, you know, what are you talking about? You know, you there's no point in taking these classes that don't get you anywhere, that don't get you employment. Now, here's obviously a letter from philosophy major Todd said, hey, it's not a waste of time. The claim is false and the advice is bad. The ignorant often don't know how ignorant they are. Philosophy is wonderful. Textual analysis, evaluation, conceptual and crap. As numerous recent articles confirm, think therefore I earn. The Guardian is philosophically the most practical major. Business owners are crying out for employees who can write, speak, and reason well, who understand how component parts of a business fit with a whole, and who have the creativity and intellectual confidence successfully to develop today's business strategies in a complex world. Holy dump truck. Can I say this? I never understood majors and minors. I didn't quite. If you're taking the same number of classes in one thing and the same number of classes in the other thing, then it seems to me it was just that's what you're doing. So I was taking psychology classes and philosophy classes along with history classes and English classes and all that stuff when I went to college. But anyway, I really enjoyed philosophy a lot because I really realized, and all this critical thinking that this man claims that philosophy does for you, don't think so. The idea of philosophy I realized was, as I heard young people who were much younger than I was because I'd been in the service, young people try to basically argue with some of these philosophers' opinions, you know, which was pointless. And I would say to some people, I'd say, you know what you need to do? You need to kind of get into your head what this philosopher's thinking and then just kind of follow that abstract thinking. And don't try to fight it. Even if you disagree with it, you have to know that this is what the guy thought, you know. And he's famous and you're not. So unless you have a philosophy that's going to be published, just go with the one you're studying and quit screwing around. Anyway, that's how I looked at philosophy. I thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was very interesting. I thought there were people that were absolutely crazy and nuts that we studied. There were people that bordered crazy and nuts. There were people that seemed to be very sane. There was a whole gamut of people like, you know, and any other thing, psychology, heavens knows, taking that. Oh, my God. Anyway. And that's when I realized I don't want to know about people who are crazy and stuff. I couldn't do it. So anyway, so that was the thing. So it's not a waste, he said, because obviously he must teach philosophy or something. This is it isn't cognitive thinking and all that stuff. He's saying philosophy. Philosophy is to listen to what somebody thought was the way things are, and basically, can I say this, and giving it back to the instructor when you had a test. That's what it was. But wait a minute. Oh, now here's one, online classes. Here's a person that also wasn't happy with somebody saying philosophy is kind of poopy. And what this person, Michael, said is, and he's been a teacher for many years, and he said, here's the problem with going from high school to an online college. He said, what you're kind of missing is you're missing the dynamic of the social dynamic of attending college and learning to live on your own and learn to budget and all that kind of stuff. Which is sometimes true for some and often not true for many who are the folks are paying for their college or whatever, and they don't need that. They don't have to worry about that. You know, they don't have to add it up. So it's interesting when people get absolute. I'm not really for that absolute stuff. So here people are very absolute. This is what it is. This is the way the mop flops. And I sometimes say to myself, I don't see how that is. You know, it's somewhere in the middle between that and the extreme other end. That's what I've learned. And so today, once again, I threw in Venus because Venus is traversing the sun. But I threw in Venus. That was a bonus thing. Because actually what we're doing today, as I said, we're doing sagas and tales. And so the sagas and tales will be from Walter Brennan, Brooke Benton, Diana Ross and the Supremes. There's a combo.
When you buy a previously owned vehicle from Rancho Grande Motors, you can feel confident that your automobile purchase will be covered, whether by a written warranty or something even better. You see, our philosophy at Rancho Grande Motors is no worries. You don't even have to ask, because we always tell you everything we know about our vehicles. Our vehicles are top-notched and fully reconditioned. We take pride in the condition of our previously owned cars and trucks. If something goes wrong with your car or truck, we handle it. And they are all priced competitively on the lot and the internet, so you can shop and compare. Come talk to us at Rancho Grande Motors, where you'll always have a peace of mind when it comes to a used car purchase. We're always here for you. We are Rancho Grande Motors. Go to RanchoGrandeMotors.com or stop by for a visit at 1404 Auto Park Way, San Luis. Rancho Grande Motors, a little hard to find, but always easy to deal with.
For three decades now, slow roasted coffee has been waking up the Central Coast. Most of you already know that your local grocery stores carry slow roasted coffee, but I'll bet you didn't know that you can now shop directly at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. That's right, walk in the door and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. When you shop at Slow Roasted Coffee, you'll find an expanded variety of coffee choices. And when you buy a 10-pound bag of your favorite coffee blend, you'll save an additional 10%. One more good thing, you'll receive two free samples with your order. So come on by and see for yourself where Slow Roasted Coffee comes from. You can shop weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Just give them a call in advance, please. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. And they'll have your order waiting for you. Find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Slow Roasted Coffee, a tradition that tastes great.
How old was I when I first seen old Rivers? I can't remember when he wandered around. Well, that old fella did a heap of work. Spent his whole life walking plowed ground. He had a one-room shack not far from us, and, well, we was about as poor as him. He had one old mule he called Midnight, and I trailed along after them. He used to plow them rows straight and deep, and I'd come along there behind, busting up clods with my own bare feet. Old Rivers was a friend of mine. The sun would get high and that mule would work, and old Rivers would finally say, whoa. He'd wipe his brow and lean back on the reins and talk about a place he's gonna go. He'd say, one of these days, I'm gonna climb that mountain, walk up there, among them clouds, where the cotton's high and the corn's a-growing, and there ain't no fields to plow. I got a letter today from the folks back home, and they're all fine, crops is dry. Down near them in, Mom said, son, you know old rivers die. Sitting here now in this new plowed earth, trying to find me a little shade. With the sun beating down across the fields I see, that mule, old rivers, and me. Now one of these days, I'm gonna climb that mountain, walk up there among them clouds, where the cotton's high and the corn's a-growing, and there ain't no fields to plow. With the sun beating down across the fields I see, that mule, old rivers, and me.
Dag Nagapapina.
Kind of a sad song, man.
Yeah. All right, we have another kind of a crappie song coming up.
It is.
Honest. Sorry. Okay, let me tell you what's going on with some of my sponsors, because right now I can't play their commercial because of... All right, here we go. So it's not something that you can solve overnight. You know, it's not what is it. Oh, I'm going to solve this. It doesn't work that way. All right, here it is. Pacific Coast Kitchen Bath, Bri the Guy, and all the gang over there, Pacific Coast Kitchen Bath. They're having a big Vandy sale right now, and they got, and plus they have the new outlet where they have stuff that's on sale all the time, and they got great prices anyway on the finest stuff you can buy. But they have other stuff there, so now they got kind of the outlet next to it, and so you can buy Vandies, you can buy Toto toilets, you can buy the shower heads, you can buy all the things you need, you can buy bowling tubs, whatnot, and they have it. And they have a really nice selection, and they have really great stuff. And it's not the cheapy stuff at Home Depot. I'm going to be frank with you. I'm not allowed to say that. It's nice stuff, and it'll last you for a lifetime, and it's really beautiful. And they just have a selection like you can't believe of. You name it, of any toilet. So it doesn't matter if it's a toilet. It doesn't matter if it's a sink. It doesn't matter if it's a vanity. It doesn't matter if it's a tub. They have tons of shower heads. I don't care what it is. They have everything right there, Pacific Coast Kitchen Bath. Are they on Short Street, Long Street, Side Street, whatever it is, right there by Trader Joe's there, along that street right there. All right, so good to Pacific Coast Kitchen Bath, see Karen and all that. And then what did I just say? I looked down and saw Karen and see Brian and the gang. And then go, Karen Scott's down the street in the Walther Building. And so if your ears don't work, and you'd be surprised how they might not. And you just, here's the thing, as I've learned, because I know where two hearing needs to, and I learned along the way is, And you don't, and it, finally you realize this when you're not capable of being able to look somebody in the eye. Actually, you're not capable of being able to look them in the mouth to see what they're saying. And so what you realize is, if you're not looking at somebody while they're speaking and you just hear them, it's just noise in the background. It doesn't have a lot of sense to it. But as soon as you can look at somebody, and so you get used to doing this, and so they're talking to you, and you're looking at their mouth, and therefore you're understanding what they're saying, because you eventually, I don't say you read lips like an actual lip reader, but you kind of do. And so that's no way to live. Have hearing aids, so it doesn't matter where the sound's coming from. You can hear what the heck it is. I will tell you this, though. You have to get used to it. Here's what's cool about hearing aids today at Karen Scott's. They have all these computerized jobs, and so they can have all these different kinds of settings for different kinds of things, you know. Like, I have a setting on mine where if I'm in the car, it'll cut down on the road noise and the motor noise, but I can hear Nancy real well. So how cool is that? Then I have all kinds of other settings. So sometimes I have one that's just, it just brings the volume up a little bit. So because if I, and also have one that brings the volume, you know, way up. And so the one that's way up, I use that for watching television. But I can't use it otherwise, because you're hearing noises you haven't heard for years. You know, for 45 years, 50 years, you haven't heard any of this stuff. And all of a sudden you hear it and you kind of flip out. So my wife says, well, we have to listen to all that stuff. I go, I don't. Go to Karen Scott and get some hearing aids. We're in the Walther Building, third floor, right next to the DMV. And don't forget the kid. They have a special person for the kids, and they got to take care of older people, and they take care of middle-aged people, and they take care of if you have to have a screening of any kind, you know, they do all that. So those are a couple of people I wanted to tell you about today. Thank you. I was talking about other people in the news, what the heck they're doing, and why they're doing it, and who they're doing it to is really what it comes down to. Well, here's a very sad story, and so I was talking to somebody earlier today about this and saying, you have to be kidding. Once again, we have this greed and avarice that has consumed this country. And, we used to be warned that this could happen to you, this could actually be the downfall of us all if greed overtook everything. And I think we poo-pooed it, but now when we watch what happened on Wall Street, we watch what happened to the major banks, we watch what's happening everywhere. Now here's another place it's happening, and it's just disgusting. It's disgusting. Observation stays for Medicare patients create coverage problems. So what they do is they bring somebody to the hospital. They call instead of admitting them as an inpatient, they call an observation stay. And so it doesn't matter what they do to you. They could do major surgery, but if they call an observation stay, then if you have to go to a place like Country Oaks, to be cared for. So in this particular case, this woman went there. They told her she had to pay $7,000 up front because she was never so Medicare wouldn't cover her because she was never an inpatient at the hospital. She was there for a week. They gave her MRIs. They gave her IVs. They did all the stuff, but they never admitted her. So more and more this is happening across the whole country. And actually, California, let me tell you this number. It's flabbergasting. And actually, California's, they said, is one of the lower ones, which is just amazing to hear when you hear this. There it is, back page. Okay, where's my back page? Oh, there it is right here. So here's what they said. Nearly 55,000 California Medicare patients were held for observation in 2009. So that's back 2009. That's 3 years ago, which is among the lowest rates in the country. California Hospital Association declined to comment, but its website posts that hospitals face criticism from patients and from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services over the perceived use of observational status as a substitute for inpatient admissions, but risk penalties from CMS auditors and prosecutors when auditing admissions of short inpatient stays. So it's back to the greed thing again. It's just unbelievable. It's everywhere. Just everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. They're saying there'll be a good turnout for some local races. Kirk Curtis has two supervisory contests and two city votes. City's votes could bring in crowds. Could. But then where did I read this other thing where they said they expected 35% of people to turn out in California? Now, more may turn out locally, which would be nice. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't be nice. But these are the kind of races that really directly affect us, that we can affect ourselves by voting. So you have a supervisorial race, and you can say, okay, this is the person I want to be supervisor. Here's why, and that's the person that's going to be the supervisor, and you're going to find out if it's why or not. You know, the president of the United States, the Congress people, it's like, yeah, right, whatever. Here's what it said. Voter turnout for California's presidential primary election is projected to be the worst ever in the state's modern era. Only 35% of the state's registered voters are expected to perform the civic duty, according to a field poll released. They say that it's not surprising, analysts say, because of the relative lack of political drama on the ballot. So if we're not like Wisconsin, where everybody's killing each other with knives and guns and whatnot, if we're not like Wisconsin, then apparently everybody just stays home. But they're saying that may not be true here, because this has been quite a campaign with Hill and Waggy and Arnold and everything, and back and forth and the thing, and Patterson. Luca Magnata, does that name ring a bell? This is this crazy guy from Canada who was a porn star in Canada. Murdered a guy, a Chinese guy, and sent body parts to different government entities in Canada. I'm not happy with you. You would think that what they would say when they see that is, I don't think he likes Chinese people. As opposed to, I don't think they like the legislation we came up with last year. A fine finger in an envelope doesn't really say that to you. But I don't know. That's what the guy did. But now they've caught him, they caught him in Germany. And as a matter of fact, he was at a cafe, what they call a computer cafe. He was at a cafe on a computer looking at stuff about himself, news stories about himself. So, yeah, is he nuts, do you think?
Okay.
It's firefighters, this is sad. Firefighters are struggling in Sequoia. The fire is bad, and this is so sad. This is one of these, and it's heading for an old grove of trees that, you know, is thousands of years old. And it's like, help. And we haven't had, they said there hasn't been fire in the area for 150 years. So that can't be good. And so we're like, well, we have to save these sequoias and whatnot. But, you know, then you look at what's going on, you know, in New Mexico. And, I mean, look at the size of that fire in New Mexico. And there's fires. All the western states right now are having fires, bad ones. And it's a matter of there's only so many people in the country to fight forest fires. So they got to divvy them up. And sadly, that fire, the fire in New Mexico, they lost an air tanker, and the two pilots aboard were killed. And so this is kind of, you know, we used to do this different. I'm just going to tell you how life was. Although they did decide, remember they were going to call this program Neighborhood Watch, and after what happened, you know, in this crazy case with a Martin teenager. And Zimmerman, they decided, okay, we'll just call it the neighborhood. So that was like, that made sense. But I noticed that the Weather Channel, I was watching, seeing what the weather was locally, seeing what their guess was, and seeing what their guess was locally. And then they had an advertisement coming up for the men who fight the fires and the airplanes and everything. And you'd think you might wait, you know, just wait a few days. I mean, it's not something that's going to change. They do the same thing. That's what they do. But you'd think you'd hold off for a week or two on that show and say, okay, you know, because you can always just run the weather. That's what the Weather Channel is about, really. Excuse me. I'm just hoping for stuff here. I know that. I'm just fumbling around going, is this what we should be doing? Is this what they should be doing? Right, let's see what else. Let's do some headlines here and see what else is going on. Oh God. Dismemberment victim's head is missing. I don't even know which one that is. Illinois man added to top 10 fugitive list. Americans in Nigeria crash were ID'd. So here's what they're saying about Prop 8, you know, the Marriage Act is probably headed for the Supreme Court. Now, once again, I wish the Supreme Court, I hope they don't do this because this needs to be decided. This is not an issue, a state's issue. I don't think it is. I don't think that's right. I think the Supreme Court needs to say, you know what, this is the way this should be observed and taken. But they may not. They may kick it down to the appellate court, and the appellate court said it was up to the states. So that's maybe where that's headed. I don't know. We don't know yet. Who else is in the news? Well, they said that I think the three jurors they picked for the Sandusky trial. Now, here's an interesting thing, and I'm not sure why this is. It hasn't been explained in a way that makes any sense to me yet. But maybe as I go along with this, I'll get smarter. Is what I'm hoping. And that's the fact that the victims have to reveal their names, which is very it's almost never done in a case of sexual abuse with a minor. They just almost never do that. So why this judge is insisting that they have to identify themselves, I'm not sure. I haven't read anything that tells me why he thinks they should, except to say that, you know, there's the whole thing about the Constitution says you have the right to face your accuser, but the courts have decided long ago in the cases of molestation that's not necessarily true. Because it's too dramatic for the people to go through it and have to see the person. Okay, Syria kicks out U.S. and other diplomats. Well, we didn't want to be there anyway. We were leaving. We were leaving anyhow. We were packing, and then you left. They told us to get out. Okay. Opinion. Oh, here's North Korea's slip cost a general his job. You can imagine in North Korea, if you're a fallen general, how your life is going to be. Probably pretty bad. Pentagon has announced a replacement for U.S. general in charge of a special operation in Korea a week after controversy broke out over comments he made in North Korea. Oh, I saw it's our guy. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Brigadier General Neil Talley was reported as saying U.S. and South Korean troops parachuted in North Korea to spy on underground military facilities. Talley admitted he was not misquoted at a conference in Florida last month, rather that he misspoke. Jennifer Bushnick, spokesperson for U.S. forces in Korea, which of course is the right name for, said this is a routine announcement that has been in the works for months, and Talley's replacement has no connection to current events. Bushnick added that he is just 2 months away from the end of his two-year tour, replaced by Brigadier General Eric P. Wendt, who is currently serving in Afghanistan. So he's not saying they're not doing that. Which sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? He's not saying they're not doing it. He's saying he shouldn't have said that they were doing it. Boing. Well, okay. That's what you get then. Obama sang again, Call Me Maybe. Opinion, U.S. economy head over a cliff. Oh, good. Mom says a baby doll cussed at her. We got to see this one. This is like the Inquirer nowadays. All the newspapers are like, all the news sources are kind of like the Inquirer. CNN, you know, every news story. It's like the weird stuff they used to have all, you know, in just certain places. But now it's everywhere. I'm ready to hear this.
Come on.
Toys R Us calls them the You and Me interactive triplet dolls. A two-year-old Zoe Pickens got a set for Christmas.
The dolls are basically supposed to interact with each other. They laugh and they play and they coo together.
But Rose Pickens says the one in pink doesn't play nice.
She is a potty mouth. She actually says the B word. But I just never paid attention to what the dolls say. They coo, they cry, say mama, dada. And this particular day, I hear, you crazy bitch. And I turn, and I'm like, wow.
I was like, that did not say what I thought it said. So she replayed it again, and I heard it, and I was like, oh my gosh, the doll said a bad word. And they in the store knew about it.
From Toys R Us, this written statement, which reads, please be assured we would not carry a doll that uttered profanity of any kind. We are aware that some customers believe they're hearing something else spoken by one of the dolls in the set, when in fact the doll is uttering baby babble. Pickens says she's being offered an in-store credit for the price of the dolls.
Not good enough. I want these dolls removed from the shelf.
Why?
We teach our children at an early age, there are certain things that you don't say.
According to an online ad for the triplets, they let girls be girls while pretending to be adults. Pickens fears they'll end up talking like them as well.
Can you believe that one? Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, the talking swearing dolls. That's really good. Yeah, Toys R Us is like that. You just think they're saying that. Yeah, I did. I heard it five times and thought the exact same thing that Mom did. Okay, so. And so it's always interesting that you take a big corporation that instead of just, you know, corporations have gotten smarter with realizing it doesn't do any good to try to explain things away. You end up, you know, just with egg on your face really bad and usually lawsuits and whatnot. So the better thing to do is to just, you know, is to man up and say, okay, yeah, there's something wrong with that and we'll just take care of it. But apparently Toys R Us hasn't gotten that memo, you know, to say, okay, well, you just think that's what it said. It didn't. This I don't know why this wouldn't. Why would anyone buy a toy? It's like people that bought their kids drums when they were young. Are you serious? This is what you want to hear? So here's these three dolls that sit next to each other, heads turned back and forth, and they babble and cry and carry on. Well, it's interesting because if you introduce those to your children, they'll want to not have children of their own when they grow up. So it'll work on population explosion. It'll help on that. And it's a good form of birth control right there. Okay, is that what the kids do? Okay, if I get it. I don't know. Now, here we have another one. Bruce and Demi's daughter is arrested, and we'll find out why. Scout Willis was arrested in New York City on Monday. Willis was picked up for having an open container of alcohol. Oh, boy, is that news? Her name is Scout Willis. She's a different-looking young lady. She doesn't look like him or her. She doesn't even look like a combination of two of those. But, hey, that's just my observation. Anyway, so I don't think that's news. So then, there's more celebrity news. Betty White, they did a wax figure of Betty. She got to see it, so they had something about that. Surprise number one pick in the Major League Baseball draft. Let's find out who that is, according to Sports Illustrated, because I think that's important to know. Astros take Korea number one. Apple slips to number eight. Impacts of new rules. So That's all we need to know about that. I'm not going to go on with that. That's what's going on. Okay. And then I'm still going to tell you about other people. Okay? Can I? Thank you. Samos Diagnostic Center. We have Samos Diagnostic, and they got the great MRI. What did they say? I was listening to the ad again today. They can hold a 550-pound person, which is that's a lot of soul there. And so anyway, this is that MRI machine, that big new MRI machine, which is the way she says is, what do you call a machine that has this and this and called a 550-pound person? And I say, I call that one big flipping donut. That's what I call. That's actually an MRI machine. But they have X-rays, they have MRIs, they got the whole thing. If you need to have your breastages X-rayed and all that, a mammogram, men, whatever you need to have done, X-rays, like X-rays if you have heard something. The nice thing about Samos Diagnostic Center is that they're nice. I mean, they're truly, Fred Wernacki is a guy that, just is the nicest man and the coolest guy. And he's like, when I first met Fred Wernacki, I thought, I bet the people that work for this man reflect what this man is, and they absolutely do at Samos Diagnostic. I mean that. Whether you're in the business office, whether you're in the as a patient, because I've been there as a patient, they're just very, very, very nice, and they get you in and out like they're supposed to. Now this, we're going to have you wait here in this for half an hour, and then you're going to wait in a little room for half an hour, then we're getting you in the X-ray department, wait there for half an hour. None of that stuff. You're in and out in 15 minutes. It's like it's perfect. And they're really nice to when you're there. So San Luis Diagnostic Center is at the corner of Santa Rosa and Monterey Street in San Luis Obispo. And Larry is the parking guard down there. So you might, when you go in there and you're pulling in, say, hi, Larry. And I want to park here illegally because Bill said I should. If I said hi, Larry, maybe I could. Don't do it. Just go to San Luis Diagnostic and say hi, Larry.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Bill, you fool. One last one, okay? I got to tell you about Charter today because Charter is smarter, and that's all there is to it. And they got these great deals going on right now where you can get the free DVR and everything and the service guarantee, the reliability guarantee, the product promise, all of this. Charter is called All In Customer Service, and they make sure that you're a happy person. The first 30-day money-back guarantee, if you're not satisfied with any service for any reason in the first 30 days, to give your money back, hassle-free. Service experience guarantee, if your technician arrives late or misses a scheduled appointment, Charter is more than happy to give you a $20 credit. Same goes to the technician unable to complete your scheduled service in one visit. A reliability guarantee. Charter knows how important reliability is to its customers, so if you're without service for more than 24 hours, you get a $20 credit. All you have to do is ask. Product promises. Charter continues to innovate. They'll provide additional functionality and service enhancements you haven't even imagined yet, which is always scary because if I haven't even imagined yet, what could they be? That's really scary. Anyway, so they're doing the thing. Charter's going all in to learn more. Visit charter.com/guarantee for restrictions and complete details. All right, Charter, it's smarter. Get to it. All right, there. I have a joke. It's called The Miserable Old Man. An old man and woman were married for many years, even though they hated each other. Whenever there was a confrontation, yelling could be heard deep into the night. The old man would shout, "When I die, I will dig my way up out of the grave and come back and haunt you for the rest of your life." Neighbors feared him. They believed he practiced magic because of the many strange occurrences that took place in their neighborhood. The old man liked the fact that he was feared. To everyone's relief, he died of a heart attack when he was 98. His wife had a closed casket at the funeral. After the burial, she went straight to the local bar and began to party as if there was no tomorrow. Her neighbors, concerned for her safety, asked, "Aren't you afraid that he may indeed be able to dig his way out of the grave and haunt you for the rest of your life?" And the wife put down a drink and said, "Let him dig. I had him buried upside down, and I know he won't ask for directions." Cue the laugh track. Okay. Who invented the laugh track for comedy sitcoms? Now, actually, in the modern times, which is what we're in the modern times, they actually have live audiences for these sitcoms. So they must even when they flub a line or whatever, they must just say, okay, we're going to do it over again and get people to laugh a second time, which has to be hard, I would think. But that's where we're at. All right, anybody else? Bonnie Raitt brings her blues back. God love her. I didn't have her today. I mean, I had Bonnie Raitt. That's the only person I had. Okay. Should Facebook raise user age to 21? I don't have an opinion on that. I don't really know. Hmm. Anderson Cooper, Miss USA Pointless. We'll come back to that after we take the break, because he says Miss USA is pointless. No kidding. It's always been pointless, you fool. But, you know, men want to watch the women in high heels and bathing suits. Don't you get it? It's the perversion thing that the men are always involved in. And that's been going on for all these years that they've been having the darn Miss USA pageant. That's the reason. That's the only reason we have the pageant. So if you're not in high heels and bathing suits, that doesn't do anything for you. You're right. It's pointless. So apparently Anderson Cooper doesn't care for that. I don't care much for it myself either. Don't care. Let's do CBS News and find out what they say is going to happen to us in the future.
CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor. Killed by drone in Pakistan. Al-Qaeda's number two. White House spokesman Jay Carney.
Very much an operational leader, general manager of Al-Qaeda, with a range of experience that is hard to replicate.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Washington. In a stepped-up campaign, the U.S. has carried out a series of drone strikes, more than a half dozen in just the past 2 weeks. That has angered Pakistan, which called in the deputy U.S. ambassador to lodge a formal complaint. This latest incident comes as U.S.-Pakistani relations hit another low, partly due to the conviction in Pakistan of a doctor who helped the CIA track down Osama bin Laden.
And what appears to be more evidence of political friction between the two countries? Sesame Street is leaving Pakistan, the U.S. Agency for International Development pulling the plug on a $20 million project to develop a Pakistani version of the show. Why? State Department spokesman Mark Toner.
This is about allegations of corruption.
Tommy Lasorda, hospitalized in New York, a heart attack for the Hall of Famer. The former longtime manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're live with CBS's Steve Futterman.
And Jim, Tommy Lasorda is 84 years old now. He does have a history of heart problems. According to LA Dodger officials, Lasorda has indeed suffered a heart attack. We are being told it's a mild heart attack. Lasorda was in New York to take part in baseball's amateur draft. It's hoped Lasorda will be released from the hospital perhaps tomorrow, but with his age and his health history, doctors certainly don't want to take any chances. Live in Los Angeles, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Just happened, the USGS says a magnitude 5.8 earthquake hitting 120 miles southeast of Mito on Japan's main Honshu Island. Women.
They're mad as hell. They don't want to take it anymore. If they go to school, they get the job, they do the job, they want to be paid for the job.
Democratic Senator Barbara Mikulski, arguing in favor of the equal pay for women law, blocked by Republican filibuster GOP Senator Dean Heller, explaining why.
Businesses would be treated as guilty until they're shown to be innocent.
A lot of voters casting ballots in Wisconsin today, deciding whether or not to recall the governor.
It appears to be a huge turnout, and some voters wait 20 or 30 minutes to have their say.
He's cleaned up the debt. He's bringing jobs back to Wisconsin.
Those hoping Walker is recalled point to the loss of collective bargaining rights for public workers.
I thought it was planned and calculated and not communicated ahead of time, and it was just an ambush.
Support for Walker or Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is passionate. It nearly sunk this voter's dinner party.
It was within seconds that we realized that this was not going to make for a good party conversation.
Andrew Mullenbeck, CBS News, Milwaukee.
The markets are closed. The Dow finishes up 26 points at 12,127. Facebook loses again, down more than a buck to 25.87. This is CBS News.
Doctor, teacher, judge. These are just a few of the people who've lost a child to heat stroke after leaving them in an empty car. 33 children died last year alone. It can happen to anyone. Even you could forget a sleeping or quiet baby. If you have small children, get in the habit of checking the back seat every time you exit your vehicle. It could mean the difference between life and death. Where's baby? Look before you lock. To learn more, visit safercar.gov/heatstroke.
You can't see me, but I'm wearing a 10-gallon hat and holding a 5-gallon bucket. Just hurry into any Napa Auto Parts store and get a free Napa 5-gallon wash bucket with a $25 purchase. Use it for washing old Betsy or even as a tool chest. I mean, tool bucket. 5 gallons holds so much and costs so little. Like nothing, because it's free. Who needs a bucket of chicken when you can just have a bucket?
Offer expires 6/30/12. See participating Napa Auto Parts store for details.
Disney, now an ally in the battle against sugary junk foods.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
That may be, but Disney's taking some of the sugar, fat, and salt out of its advertising. Disney says it'll only air ads for healthier foods on its TV channels, radio, and websites popular with kids.
I think this is a great step.
Dr. Donna Sprouts-Metz says a third of American kids are overweight. Disney says while you'll hear fewer ads for candy and sugary drinks, they'll still okay food that's a little more nutritious but not perfectly healthy. Things like... That's still in the mix. Heather Bosch, CBS News.
Experimental solar-powered plane taking off from Madrid to Morocco a bid to complete its first transcontinental flight. It's the size of a jumbo jet but has just one seat because there has to be room for 12,000 solar cells. Organizers hope to do a round-the-world flight in 2012. Well, make that 2014. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Ever turn on your TV to find the dish hopper let you skip through all the... Ever find an entire show is passed without interruption because the dish hopper lets you automatically skip the ads? Well, if you're tired of skipping ads, turn to radio, where ads are alive and well.
Watch commercial-free TV with the hopper, the new whole home HD DVR from Dish. Call 1-800-WATCH-TV to get Dish today. Only available for playback of select HD primetime shows and must be enabled by customer. Programming sold separately. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Let me tell you a story about a boll weevil. Now, some of you may not know, but a boll weevil is an insect, and he's found mostly where cotton grows. Now, where they come from, nobody really knows. But this is the way the story goes. The farmer said to the boll weevil, I see you're on the square. Boll weevil said to the farmer, say, yep, my whole darn family's here. We gotta have a home. Gotta have a home. The farmer said to the boll weevil, say, why'd you pick my farm? The weevil just laughed at the farmer and said, we ain't gonna do you much harm. We're looking for home. And the boll weevil spotted him a lightning bug. He said, hey, I'd like to make a trade with you. But you see, if I was a lightning bug, I'd search the whole night through. Searching the home. I'd have been plenty of home. And the boll weevil called the farmer and said, you better sell your old machines. Because when I'm through with your cotton, you can't even buy gasoline. I'm going to take me a home. Gotta have a home. And the boll weevil said to the farmer, his mom, I'd like to wish you well. Farmer said to the boll weevil, yeah, I wish that you were looking for home. Looking for home.
And that was, of course, Burt Bittman there with the wheels on. Sog of the Tales today. We're going to have Diana Ross Supreme. They had a Sog and Tail one time. They had a kind of interesting song. That, it was not a huge hit, but it was a hit. And it's something I always like. So we'll have that here in about 20 minutes. You're with Bill, talking Chief Friends and Neighbors Network. Our phone numbers are 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. You're listening to Talk is Cheap on 1340 KYNS, your news station. There are things that are going. Oh, I got found some stuff. Right, I got to share with you right here. Right, you know, fire signs and stuff. I share with you. It's like, are you kidding? Okay, wait a second. Let me do this first. Because they had this thing and they played the right music to do it, and then I'm trying to find it. Oh, there it is right there. Let's see if this is it. Oh, that's the same thing I found before. And it doesn't make any sense to me, but that's okay. Let's do this first. This is a... this video... Oh, this is the Anderson Cooper thing about, you know, it was the Miss USA pageant. Pointless. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready when the thing's ready. And it's not ready yet. It decided to put the little hourglass thing up there and say, Bill, I'm going to try your patience. You know, I could just buy the three dolls and swear at each other and stuff, you know. And it would be the same thing. Just trying to put up with this computer. I could just do it. Why is the hourglass still there? Okay, there it's gone. Now, let's see now if I can. Where's my cursor? Okay, let's try this.
Time is savings. Not in this economy. We also have zero free time. And my dad moving in. So we went to Fidelity. We looked at our family's goals and some ways to help us get there. They helped me fix my economy. The one in my house. Now they're managing my investments for me. You know, with Fidelity, getting back on track was easier than I thought.
Call or come in today to take control of your personal economy. Get one-on-one help from America's retirement leader.
Time now for The Ridiculous, and tonight we're adding the Miss USA pageant, which took place last night in Las Vegas and aired on NBC. Now, before you start tweeting me, hear me out. I'm not anti-beauty pageant. In fact, my friend Andy Cohn from Bravo co-hosted this one, did a great job. And look, the Miss USA folks, they tried their best. They did have one contestant who named Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman when asked to name a movie in which a woman is portrayed in an accurate and positive way. And yet, they did a highly original lip sync to the so-called song of the summer, Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe. And yeah, that was a cameo by Donald Trump, who happens to own the pageant. So here is why the pageant is on The Ridiculous tonight. It's not for anything they did. It's just that it's pointless to keep holding these events. Pointless because no pageant from now until the end of time will ever, and I mean ever, top the magical television experience known as the 2007 Miss Teen USA pageant.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
Let's just stop right there. Now, I know you've seen this before, and you've heard this question. It's somewhere between Celebrity Jeopardy and a sixth-grade essay contest. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just because it's so darn good, I give you the best pageant answer of all time from Miss South Carolina.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have that.
I just got to stop again. U.S. Americans don't have maps. I repeat, U.S. Americans, map shortage. I just want to make sure last night's organizers realized the kind of topic they should have been diving into. Let's just rewind the tape. Continue.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as.
South Africa, the Iraq, and everywhere like such as. You see, pageant organizers, this is why you should have just canceled last night's festivities. You had no chance of competing with that. You will never be able to find a contestant who can pinpoint her answer with such clarity. I'm just going to give you a minute to think about what you could have done differently. In the meantime, let's check back in with Miss South Carolina.
I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa. It should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Now, you know it's bad when Mario Lopez is like, I got nothing. I got nothing. He just moves on. That's bad. He always has something to say. There you have it. The greatest moment in beauty pageant history. Nothing tops it, including last night's Miss USA pageant. I'm sorry. Maybe before next year, pageant organizers will come to their senses and find their inner compass on The Ridiculous.
That's funny. That's funny to me. I remember that. I remember that young lady. Oh, my God. I remember that young lady. A thing we're going to hear in a little bit, and you're going to say, Bill, you can't be telling me the truth. Are you telling me the truth, Billy? Yeah, my. And a dead cat turned into a flying object. Seriously. I wouldn't make up something like that. I really wouldn't. And so now they had the big story on, and this doesn't make any sense to me at all, the way this is. Why would Mary Poppins' remastered original soundtrack with bonus tracks feature a woman named, or a man, or somebody named Neil Hefti? Who is that? So, sort of sounds familiar, that name, but I don't know. Anyway, so they got into the whole thing and said, okay, well, Disney's going to try to say on our TV shows, we're only going to have healthy food advertised. We try it. Yep, I can hear the broccoli advertisers line up now, saying, okay, well, it's our chance. And, of course, this is the music they played behind the story, because this is what Disney was known for.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, and snap, the job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way. Robin feathering his nest has very little time to rest while gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. He knows a song will move the job along. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
That's enough of that. All right, so anyway, here's Neil Hefti. I knew I recognized him. He's the guy that wrote it all. So here's what they said right here. This is an interesting bio that came with this. It said all the great things they did. Sadly, this and The Sound of Music ended up hurting Andrew's career once musicals and family films went out of fashion. That's the price you pay for becoming an icon of a particular genre, whether you wanted to be or not. Now, this is interesting. The Sound of Music. And Sound of Music, right? And this one thing, they're huge for Julie Andrews. They're huge. So the question then becomes, when they say that is, and maybe there's something, I don't know, but if you know it, you can call me. Maybe there was a musical that she did following The Sound of Music, which would be right. Yeah, following The Sound of Music, or Mary Poppins, which came first. Anyway, it didn't. It was the one she flopped in because nobody was watching musicals anymore. I had a hard time with musicals when I was young. I really did. They were just not real to me. I didn't understand why people just didn't break out in song and dance whenever they came in contact with each other. So that was confusing me when I was a child. I was like, why are these people singing to each other? Why don't they just talk? Why are they dancing? Why don't they just walk? Yes. Well, I had to put up with when I was growing up. All right, now is my own word self. All right, let's do this one here. This is the flying cat. It's not like a sail cat where you throw it. This person added motors to a dead cat and propellers. I'm serious. We'll be after this ad for Priceline that has nobody talking or saying anything. They're showing different rates in different places and they have star level minimum stars for $89 versus super duper pooper chimes with a lot more money.
Choose the perfect hotel without bidding at Priceline.
Thank you. Let's get on with the story, can we?
Lift off with a catcopter, a remote controlled helicopter made out of a dead cat? No wonder jaws drop.
I think we should let the cat rest in peace.
That's crazy. But the cat's owner, Dutch artist Bart Janssen, considers this a tribute.
I really love this cat, and for me, this is a way to actually make him eternal.
His name was Orville. He and his brother Wilbur were named after the Wright brothers. So when Orville got hit by a car last year, Janssen turned him into art to be exhibited in a Dutch museum.
Since he was already named after a famous aviator, well, it became clear that he just needed to fly.
It's probably like the scariest thing I've probably ever seen in my life.
Janssen had Orville taxidermied and put on an ultra-lightweight casing. Half cat, half machine, Janssen calls it, the Orville copter.
There's a little flap here.
Where gyroscopes and the receiver are, there's a propeller attached to each paw. What was striking during our Skype interview when Janssen held the Orville copter up to the camera? Those eyes.
Those eyes are glass, by the way.
That's the wrong message to children, too. It almost looks like it's being an animal's being tortured.
I think it's his own damn business. The animal's dead.
His brother Wilbur doesn't seem to know what to make of this reincarnation of Orville. Janssen says cats dream of chasing birds. Just look at Tom in the Tom and Jerry cartoons. Janssen says Orville used to lie on the doormat watching pigeons. Now he's finally flying with the birds, the greatest goal a cat could ever reach. But to PETA, it's a macabre way to honor a beloved family member. Orville is now a catcopter.
I'm an artist, so it's fine by me.
But many of the comments online are beyond catty. That man is not an artist, he is a sadist. Dear artist, I hope if you get run over, they make you into a manocopter.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't that be cool?
The artist is willing to part with his flying pet.
I do think someone would want this. It is for sale.
But he hasn't yet put a price on Orville Copter. A Dutch TV show was shooting the cat copter in a field. When its pilot sent it swooping towards some cows, Moo versus Meow, and Meow won.
I think the cat probably would approve.
Genie Mo, CNN, Meow, New York.
I can't believe it. So he had this cat, well, it's the skin of the cat, I guess, and it's over a fiberglass frame, and he had it spread-eagled. So that's, you have to imagine this, with a propeller on each paw. And so it's like one of those four-bladed helicopters they now sell. Toys, and they he flies it around. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Nope. All right, so that's the kind of thing that we have going on in our world, and that's the thing that we have to contend with. All right, other things are going on in our world and our life. They had this very dramatic story on the news last night, and they have news today about a Vietnam vet who was is actually a Vietnam soldier, an American soldier in Vietnam, was killed by the enemy, and they took his papers out of his, before they could recover the body, the NVA took his papers, which included letters home, and so they swapped it just now for a North Vietnamese soldier's diary. They think when we do with warfare, are there people whose job it is to think, years from now, what could we use something for? Right? What could we do? How could we bargain this away? Well, they did, and they found out the guy was scared and half crazy, which is, you know, to be expected, don't you think? He was in war. I'll tell you, how, you get scared half crazy. Let's get on the phone and say hi to somebody. Hello?
I think it's kind of a shame that the letters had to be public, though. Those were letters to his family. The content should have been public in the paper.
I'm not sure. I have to think about that. I don't know how I feel about that. I see what you're saying, but here's the
thing. If the family wishes, they could release it, but it was a private letter to his family. It doesn't belong in the newspaper, I don't think.
Well, here's the thing.
I think there were a lot of people scared in the Ashaw Valley.
I would think so. And here's the thing. His aunt, what was it? His mother had passed away, so it was his aunt? Was that who ended up seeing the thing? I think it was the aunt. Anyway,
yeah.
Wait, it says so right here. Just a second. Let me get smart here and tell you what it is. So anyway, she of course was very moved by it and was crying and all this kind of stuff, as you can imagine. And
yeah.
Oh, here it is. When I read them, I started sobbing. Flaherty's aunt, the guy's name is Steve Flaherty, he's 22 years old. Martha Gibbons of South Carolina said Monday, it almost put me on the battlefield with him. The letters have also reopened emotions about the war for Flaherty's family. So here's what they had to say. It's a senseless loss of life, said Flattery's uncle, Kenneth Cannon, a Navy vet who was in South Carolina. A lot of good lives were wasted in the war in Vietnam to serve no purpose. He didn't deserve that. You know, what's interesting about looking back at the Vietnam, any war, it's the war in Afghanistan, it's every war we fight, there's at the time, it's politically expedient to be there. You know, the Panama thing, the Grenada thing. That's what it is.
That war was for no purposes because we lost interest and turned our back and walked away.
Well, right. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, you're right on to that. And it's an extension of politics. You know, the military is a form of negotiation. And that's what you are. And so I would think that if the father was a veteran, you would understand that that's what you are. You know, your extension of a political idea, political message. And that's what we've always...
That was okay with a lot of people because what we thought we were doing was protecting them from communist invaders.
Yeah, we did. And at the time, it seemed very real to all of us. And it was, you know,
I think it was real, but it's just that there was so much corruption in the South that, you know, we couldn't win the locals because they didn't care whether the people that stole their rice every spring took it north or took it south. Well, they care.
Yeah, really.
It's hungry.
The other thing, too, is that they... You know, they know we knocked off the guy they had as president and stuck our own guy in.
I don't know if John Kennedy actually did that.
I think he did.
Although I heard that Amnesty International put out an achievement of our current president. He is currently given assassination orders on more people than all the other Nobel Peace Prize winners combined.
As a Republican you don't like Obama, but here's the thing. I'm not sure why you say that because we don't care if he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. I mean, the guy who's a Nobel Peace Prize winner in physics, can he go out and kill somebody because it says physics? What does that mean?
The Nobel Prize for physics is not a peace prize. The Peace Prize is a completely separate thing. It's not done in Sweden. It's done in Norway.
Well, that's right. Okay. But here's the point. The guy's the commander-in-chief of U.S. forces, so if he says I'm going to take drone strikes and kill bad guys, then I think if you take the politics out of it, you're probably for that.
Okay, let's take the politics out of it and imagine that W did that.
W started a whole war with a country that we were in for how many years?
He didn't just send unmanned drones to unknown targets and take them out.
This guy wasn't unknown.
As far as the old classic... They were carrying rifles. They must have been terrorists. Everybody carries rifles. Because everybody carries rifles.
Boy, Gary, you're in a weird mood today, I got to tell you. Are you?
No, I'm sorry. What I was going to call about.
Yeah.
I used to have a tenant that was a grip when we were in South Pass.
A grip?
And he was expanding it, worked in a studio.
Oh, yeah.
And he explained they will use the laughter from the first time the joke is put across. And if there's something wrong with that scene, I have to do the scene over.
But
they can still use the laughter out of the first time the audience heard it.
Oh, God, that's funny. I wonder if they actually have an audience.
I used to drive busloads of seniors to Burbank all the time to watch shows being made. You know, particularly shows that hadn't started on the air yet. They had to press people in, you know, to be the audience because nobody ever heard the show.
That's funny. And, you know,
yeah.
I've mentioned this before, but I have to tell you, one of the worst experiences I had in trying to do it, I did a TV show where I hosted movies, old movies, and we were doing Top Hat with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers on the Madonna dance floor, you know, the ballroom there.
Uh-huh.
And so I had two guys that did breakdancing that just started. So I had two guys that did breakdancing as part of the gimmick we were doing. And I was wearing a top hat and tails and the whole thing and introducing the next segment of the movie. Well, what I was hired to do basically was they would show me the last 20 seconds coming out of the segment and the first 20 seconds going in, and they'd tell me how many seconds I had. So they'd say, okay, here's the last thing that they saw, the audience saw. Now here's what they're going to see when they go back into the thing, and you have 13 seconds to come up with a joke.
Oh, my.
Seriously. So
get out there and be funny.
Yeah, be out there and be funny. But here was the worst part. Here's the worst part. It wasn't coming up with a joke that was so hard. It was that you had to do it in 13 seconds. You know, I could do a 30-second commercial. I can do it within one-tenth of a second every day of my life because I've done so many of them. But 13 seconds, what is that? So I do this thing, and then these people, the tourists came up, and even though it was roped off, they were in the bar there, they'd laugh at the joke. Well, we couldn't have. They didn't want laughter at the joke. They didn't want to have laughter. So I had to say, could you please not laugh when we do this? Could you just be quiet over there? And they would, oh yeah, we'll nod. And then I do the joke, and then they say, nope, you did that in 10 seconds. I could do a joke. Nope, you did in 15 seconds. You got to do it again. Well, you know, third, fourth, fifth time, it's not funny anymore.
There's nothing
funny about it at that point. And,
yeah.
And you still have to have a big smile on your face, like it's a thing you just came up with. Anyway, it was a very strange experience.
So you could hope that the 20 seconds prior to your entering, gave you something to work with.
You had to hope.
Some kind of a setup.
Yep, that's what you had to hope. Is it?
I hope those firemen that are all working in Sequoia don't get in a lot of trouble, because, you know, they're all making overtime, and they're liable to get sodomized when they get home to their home cities.
What are we going to do with this many fires, for God's sake, already in a season? I mean, you know,
it's going to be a bad year.
I think it is.
There was a fire in Yellowstone in the 80s that instructed the entire fire service that our previous policy of always just put out any fire that starts had a drawback to it, and that is fire is a part of nature, and forests want fires to go through, but they don't. But if you keep stopping them and the undergrowth keeps burning, then you can't have a fire burn through a forest without crowning.
Well,
if it crowns, you've lost the forest.
Well, that's what they said. They said there hasn't been a fire in this stand of sequoias in 150 years.
Yeah, we want to bet there has been, and they put them out.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's just
that was a mistake.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I remember...
That was a bad policy that we followed all the first 10, 15 years I was in the Forest Service.
I remember reading...
What's the question? You put it out.
Well, I remember reading, in our local history about fires that would start, you know, in the mountains and stuff, and they'd burn down to the ocean. Nobody put them out. I mean, there was nobody to put them out.
Well, in L.A. County Fire Department calls that using the Pacific Ocean as a fire break. Down in Malibu, they've used that particular fire break more than once.
That, Gary, I'm sorry, is funny, and I thank you for calling today. And be more concerned about a flying cat than about missile strikes. What do you call them? Drone
strikes. Actually, it takes two cats to really have fun. You need two cats and a piece of rope. I'll tell you later.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Goodbye, sir.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level, independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
There are two types of hearing protection. Ear muffs fit over the entire outer ear so that the ear canal is blocked. Fashion ear muffs for keeping your ears warm do not prevent harmful sounds. Earplugs or inserts are typically made of silicone or film and are inserted into the ear canal to create a seal. They come in a variety of sizes and textures to provide optimum fit. Custom-made earplugs, which are popular with musicians and motorcyclists, can be obtained from an audiologist. This public service announcement is brought to you by Karen Scott, Hearing Aids and Audiology.
A while back, say about 50 years, Snow Whiten at Whiten's Heating and Air Conditioning in San Luis Obispo and her friends, the Seven Little Dudes, invented the GPS. They sure did. The GPS, great personal service. Before long, everybody expected their own GPS, but wasn't guaranteed unless they called Snow Whiten at 781-2574. To this day, when you need great personal service under heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, or realize you have mucked up ducts and need help with a healthy air system, call Snow Whiten at 781-2574 and she'll dispatch a Texpert, Spiggity Spot, or even quicker. When you needed help yesterday, Whiten's has been front and center since the early 50s, before the really cool cars, before Fidel's beard, or just about the time of I Like Ike buttons. Now you might ask curiously but politely, did Whiten's gain this stellar reputation? Hundreds of satisfied customers spread it by word of mouth, where most words come from. Keep the outside out and the inside in. Call Snow Whiten at 781-2574, and Whiten's GPS with heating, air, and refrigeration will help you live happily ever after. The end.
She was
Diana Ross and Screams, and I'm living in shame. Saga of the Tales today. Here, Bill, this is Talking Sheep. Thanks for joining me today. It's about 24 minutes before the hour, 2 o'clock, and Weather Wizard says it's going to start to get a little bit warmer, a little bit better, a little less windy, but we're going to have a cloudiness in the morning, sunny afternoon. That's what we have to look forward to right there. All right. I had never even heard of this. Oh, let me before I say that, let me go backwards to what Gary had to say. Is should they have printed what was said in those letters from that soldier that was killed in Vietnam, Steve Flattery? Should they have used to reveal what was said in the letters? They didn't just print the letters, but they had excerpts from it. And here's what's interesting from a legal standpoint, from what I understand, and I understand this, is that the contents of a letter are actually the property of the person that wrote it. So I write a letter, and I send the letter to Nancy. So you might think, well, now that's Nancy's letter. I send it to her. The letter's hers. The contents are mine. This is a true legal thing. I've been through this. And so that's kind of interesting and weird in this particular case, because that would mean that these letters were addressed to this man's mother, who has now passed away. And so therefore, you know, does the government have the right to release the contents of what was in those letters? Good point. Point well taken, Gary. Right. I never heard of this before, but this is hospitals are adding programs for palliative care. Is that how you say it? Palliative care at a feverish pace, and I hadn't even heard of it till this morning. Palliative care is like, you know, when you have it's pre-hospice. It's before they actually tell you you're going to die, but you know you're in bad shape. And you're going through chemo and all that kind of stuff, and they have all kinds of social workers and people that work with you and all that kind of stuff. And so they coordinate care among doctors and ensure the concerns of patients and their families. So they're saying that they're really getting on board with this thing, probably because there's money in it. That's the only reason they do it. And they're adding these programs all over, which I... Okay. I just thought I'd tell you that. Okay. Senate urged to take up pay equity for women. What they're trying to do is say, you know, an employer would have to say why a woman that's doing the same job as a man is not being paid the same. Unintended consequences. So the unintended consequence of that is if you are still a chauvinist and want to advance somebody in the company, you will now not even think of doing it for a woman, and you'll just do it for a man. That's the unintended consequence of that. I see what they're trying to do, and I think that they should. I think it's entirely correct that they do it. I think it's entirely correct that that's what happens. You know, I think every employer should have their feet held to the fire to see what they're doing with their employees and if they're being fair. But the unintended consequence is, okay, we just sidestep that, and we don't have to worry about it. Now, at some point, that's only going to work for a while, though. At some point, if you have absolutely no women supervisors in a given company, let's say, that ain't going to happen. Something's going to blow up in your face no matter what. Why don't you just change your ways? Now that you've read that they want to do this, why don't you just, if you're an employer that's a chauvinist and doesn't want to pay women what they deserve, then just shape up or ship out. Either way, we don't care. Clinton says Romney would be calamitous. Much like Monica Lewinsky was sort of calamitous to a certain president of the United States. Okay. On Monday, officials flew 1,300 miles northwest from Oahu to Midway to mark the 70th anniversary of the pivotal battle that changed the course of World War Deuce. The U.S. sank 4 Japanese aircraft carriers the first day of the 3-day battle and put Japan on the defensive, greatly diminishing its ability to project air power as it had in the attack on Hawaii. And we shut down a bazillion planes and stuff. And this is when I was in the Navy, I thought to myself, I really got to say this, I thought, I hope I never have to be in a battle of Midway. It just does not sound like it's a good time. Ooh. Vote today, it counts, is the opinion of the Tribune. Except for unless you're a Cal Poly student that signed up with a guy and from the registrar's office that turned in the ballots late and now you can't vote. I mean, you can, but you have to go through all kinds of... It's to the point that nobody's really doing it. First off, you have the kids are taking finals this weekend and heading out. So the folks, to remind a reminder, the people from Arizona will be moving in. You know, we have the group of they have the what do they call them, snowbirds? Whatever we call them, slowbirds. So they're going to be coming from Arizona, and so that you know you think the traffic's you know going to improve somewhat with the kind of poly kids gone, but it does a little bit. Anyway, but here's the point. So they're taking finals this week, and then they leave. You know, they take their last final, they're out of here. And so who's going to bother, you know, going through all this stuff you have to go through because the guy screwed up? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this. You know, it's a misdemeanor, and it's punishable. Whether they'll do that or not, I don't. Okay. We did the online class. We did philosophy. You know what we have also in the news today, and this is in the letters to the editor. We have the Walmart thing going. Ann says, "Why are we still taking so long?" David says, "We have a future burden that isn't fair to us." Tom says, "We have an astronomical cost." I'm not a taxpayer citizen, okay? So I need to qualify this, so you know my opinion doesn't count for squat in this whole thing, but. I have to admit, you know, originally when Walmart and the annex said we'll pay for the road improvements, which is what they should do, I don't know how you can think they shouldn't do it. And then you manipulate things, a company, you know, these big people, corporations manipulate things, and then they say to the city of Atascadero, you know how good this will be for you, but you're going to have to pay for half of this and then get paid back through future development of commercial properties. You know what pains me? I'm going to be honest with you. This is what pains me. Atascadero never should have gotten itself in that position to begin with. It never should have. So if you said to me, I don't care one way or the other about Walmart, but a lot of people do, and they employ a lot of people, you know, you might say, well, they underemploy them. Whatever. Their job's sitting there, and people want them, and people need them, and people have lost their homes and are homeless, would love to go to work for Walmart. Thank you. I see that as a total benefit as far as employment. Does Walmart, now you have the next question, which everybody says, okay, well, how does that affect other Main Street businesses? What does that do? And it does have a ripple effect. There's no question about it. And it depends on what kind of business you have. But, you know, Home Depot has certainly a ripple effect in San Luis Obispo, and Costco certainly has a ripple effect in San Luis Obispo. So, you know, a major store, a huge store, is going to have a ripple effect. You just cannot have it happen. It can't not be done. It's like driving an aircraft carrier through the ocean. There's going to be a big wake. You know? Anyhow, I'm just so sorry that Atascadero got in. They did what they did. I think ultimately it would work out for Atascadero. I think ultimately if they said to new people coming in that we're going to have commercial businesses in that area, that, you know, guess what, you're going to pay this much money for improvements and infrastructure. But it's just unfortunate that Atascadero got bent over a barrel, so to speak. You know, looking for fish, as they say. All right, that was my thoughts. I'm sticking to it, too. Job report cloud rains on economists because the job report wasn't good. You know what's interesting to me, and people have said this, but we need to kind of remember this, because even local candidates say this. We're going to create jobs. We're going to create jobs. They don't create the job. They create the jobs by saying, I guess, if you take the solar energy things that are going on up at the Carrizo Plains, if you say, well, okay, I voted for that, so therefore I created jobs, obtusely, the company that's putting the solar plant in is the one creating the jobs. You know, private industry creates jobs. The government doesn't create jobs. The jobs the government creates are a problem, not a help. They're more of a drain on the economy than a boost to the economy. So everybody's always like, oh, I believe in jobs, and I'm going to help with jobs, and I'm going to hear it from every politician from the start to the end. And it's like, what are you talking about? You don't create jobs. Business creates jobs. Okay, fine. Speaking of Walmart, you probably ask yourself, how are they doing? Well, Walmart's final shareholder vote for its board of directors show unprecedented dissent against key executives and stuff, and including CEO Mike Duke, in the wake of allegations of bribery in Mexico. I have to admit, I'm pretty naive about some things myself. I mean, I'm in my 60s, but, you know, somebody will say something, they'll reveal something, I'm like, you're kidding. Really? Yeah. And I think, how could I have gone this long and not known that? You know, how could I? And that still happens to me, I have to admit, you know. So people, this thing with the bribery of Mexican officials and all this stuff, there's a certain naivete there that is just foolishness to me. It's just you just didn't know. That's how people do business. That's how, I shouldn't say that's how people, that's how countries do business. They do it that way in Europe. They do it in Mexico. They do it everywhere, I'm pretty sure. But that's how they do it. Is it right? Of course it's not right. But if you want to say, well, I don't want to engage in that, well, then your company goes nowhere. So now we're back to more unemployment, more mayhem, and all that kind of thing. It's just, you know, it's a corrupt world, as I'm learning. I have to admit, I'm learning this as you are more than I ever imagined it was. But what I should say is nothing should shock us anymore. When you see that someone is, what's behind it is greed, then you shouldn't be surprised anymore. Because we, as I said earlier today, we've been exposed to it in a way we never have. I mean, it's just in our face all the time. All right, I thought just for the heck of it, you know, I don't know why, I just thought for the heck of it, I'd play the song they sang at the Miss USA pageant, which I didn't watch because I don't care about the high heels and the bathing suits. So I didn't watch it, but this was a big hit, and it's by Carly Rae Jepsen. And I thought we'd play a little bit of it just for the greens. Because what else are we doing today, you know?
Wishing them well, don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as you fell, and now you're in my way. I traded my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing. Hot night wind was blowing. When
call me maybe. Okay, that's I know they all sound like these days, but you know, I suppose somebody said that a little music you listen to. So. Alright, you're a little talk of sheep. This is here's something very important. Now here's a weird thing. You know, I read these little chunks of news sometimes because I say, you know, maybe at some point it's really going to tell you something that's really important that you need to know, and you don't know what you don't know at this moment if you don't know it. And that's why this is what I'm talking about. Here's a guy that wrote to Steve Alexander's Tech Q&A. Get rid of malware, FBI says. I've recently been told that I must check my computer for malicious software or risk losing my internet connection in July. Is this true? Guess what? It's true. This involves you. You. It's true. An FBI investigation discovered that about 570,000 computers worldwide have been taken over by malicious software, malware, which redirects their internet browsing to hacker-operated web servers. The FBI describes the problem at, now pay attention to this because you need to have this, at www.tinyurl.com/, you're going to have to get a copy of the paper. It's worth $0.50 today to have this information, /CFMP6DJ, period. In March, the FBI said it has set a July 9th deadline for about 85,000 remaining U.S. consumers to clean the malicious software from their computers. After that, the PCs won't be able to connect to the Internet because the bogus servers will be turned off. The FBI authorized... Oh, here. No, I got another website. Sorry. The FBI authorized website... That was to tell you what it's about. This is to fix it. The FBI authorized website, www.dns-ok.us, will tell you whether your computer is infected and if so, how to fix it. Did you know that? I didn't. Your computer could be running on malware, which is somebody else's software, not who you think it is. And so the FBI is putting a big hurt on everybody and saying, guess what? Wow, that's weird. All right, other things going on. Is Xbox goals world domination? Yes. Every business is trying to dominate the world in what they do. So why shouldn't Xbox? New Microsoft software will expand devices' access to smartphones, tablets, television, and later this year, the Internet. It's a feature similar to the Wii U from Nintendo.com. The upcoming high-definition console will feature a touchscreen controller. All this fancy stuff's going on with gaming. And I find since I was years ago, you know, when they had Pong, and then we had some Atari games and all that, the little ones, since that, I haven't seen a video game since all those times. And so, Space Invaders, but I guess they're pretty yippy-skippy right now. But I haven't seen any. But they're going to get even better than what I haven't seen. Do you know what I did find? I know I came across, I don't know how I came across it. I wasn't looking for it, but there it was. But this is probably malware. I'm probably not on the list. I'm screwed. But I found a free version. Maybe there's lots of free versions of it. I don't know. I just have only heard what it was, and now I've played it. The kids told me about it. They said there's a game that everybody loves called Angry Birds. And I said, what does it do? And they say you shoot the birds out of a slingshot and try to hit the pigs. I'm like, what are you talking about? So they have an iPad. They showed me on the iPad what the Happy Birds was. So I thought, well, that's interesting. So I found a free version of it. And so you say, Bill, so you spend all your time playing Happy Birds? No. Yeah, I played a couple times and just said, I'm not very good at this. This is what I used to say when I played Pong and whatnot. What do you call that thing? Pac-Man. I wasn't any good. There's no sense in. You have a choice when you're confronted with these kinds of things, you know. I suppose it has to do with your characters, which is a shame because it tells you what I'm about. But you either say, I find this a challenge that I become more proficient at this than the machine thinks I could ever be, although it's always going to defeat you at some point. Or you go, I'm going to go find something else to do. I don't need this grief. I'm going to go find something else to do. I have to admit that. I'm like that. I don't need to master anything. And I'm probably not capable of it anyway. So, why bother? Other news that are going on. Starbucks is looking to expand its food business with a $100 million cash deal to buy a small bakery chain. Because Starbucks is, you know, people are starting to say, I'm not sure I want to pay $7 for a cup of coffee, but if you have a cookie in there for $2.50, which is 10 times more than it's worth, maybe I'll buy one of those. They're trying to stay ahead of the curve, as they call it. All right. Other people. There's another thing I saw that I want to tell you about. Oh, other tech news. Facebook. Facebook bans children. There are 13 millions of them on profiles on the site by lying about their age, of course. So now the company's now testing ways to allow these kids to participate without needing to lie. Samsung's flagship smartphone, the Galaxy S3, will be launched by all the big four nation and U.S. wireless carriers this month, started at $199. That's another territory that I'm not involved in at all. So I don't know what that phone does. I'm big on that Apple phone there that, you know, has Siri on it that can just tell you what you need to know and do what you tell you can tell it what to do, and it just doesn't. Are there other phones that have that? Are there other phones you can just say do this and it doesn't? And then what else we got? Air travel. Scoot Airlines is offering Apple iPads to budget long-haul travelers after ripping out aircraft entertainment systems weighing more than 2 tons to save fuel. The tablets help the carrier cut 7% off the weight of planes obtained from parent Singapore Airlines, who have reported 40% increase in seating. That's very interesting, huh? Just an electronic device they took off. How weird is that? And I was having a conversation with somebody, and they hit the nail on the head about how this should work. Here we have this legislation now that you can't be on a cell phone, you can't be texting and all that, which I think is very brilliant. I think it's what we should be doing and saying to people, please just drive the damn car. You have enough trouble doing it anyway. But now all the new cars are coming out with GPSs in the dashboard. Well, how distracting is that? That's absurd. Why would you get rid of this distraction and then add this distraction? That doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to anybody? Anyhow, so the person said to me, it was Nancy at Moe's. I'm going to give her credit. She said to me, you know what they should do? They should just make it so you can use those GPSs when the car is in park. Brilliant, brilliant. That's it. I thought that was the nail on the head right there. We're going to get together again tomorrow. I have guests coming in at 12:30. We got a big do going on, a big doggy do that's happening, and we'll talk about that. And we'll get together again. Until then, my other trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because talk is cheap.
CBS.